What is your God's name? Part 77. I'm Professor Hannes Redlinghuis of the First Assembly of Yahushua in South Africa, Pretoria, Montana, also international. Should you require any of my books which I've written, I'm thinking about the book What is Your God's Name, which is the handbook for the study that we are currently busy with. You can contact me at our WhatsApp number, it's +27 International Code for South Africa, and my number is 0722-367-124. Go to my website, https://yahvah.co.za, as you can see on the top here. If this is the first time that you are about to participate in the study, you are so very welcome. Please go to part 1, start from the beginning, because you've missed out on quite a bit of information. It's also very important to subscribe to the channel in order to receive the different notifications, all the studies that we are currently busy with, as well as our TikTok messages. Please share this link to your friends and family. Make sure you have at least have a 1611 King James Bible or the restoration of the original Sacred Name Bible, the Rotterdam version, which I have a special on, where I supply two Bibles as a combo for the price of one of the Bibles from Postnet to Postnet in South Africa or Namibia. Should you require more information about this combo, you can contact me at my numbers and I will give you the prices and what must happen. It's very important to know that we do not associate ourselves with every people, denomination or organization in the world. We are only an end time Bible study group. We are to continue where we left off last week. The Edict of Milan. It is of utmost importance to understand that the following ancient history, because it will form part of the backbone of the creation of the Trinity dogma. We are busy to find out where does the Trinity teaching, theology and dogma comes from. The Trinity dogma of God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. It's because of the unbelief of most Protestant Christians and not knowing the history of their own Bibles, that the Roman Catholic Church, through corrupted texts and manuscripts and different Bible translations, infiltrated our Protestant Bibles. Yeah. When you kind of go back in history, in February 313 A.Y., after Yahushua, Empress Constantine met with his co-emperor Licinius in Milan. Much of the meeting seems to have taken up the issue of Christianity and marks a turning point in the history of the Roman Catholic Church, which was a state religion. The two emperors dispatched a letter which has come to be known as the Edict of Milan to all governors throughout the Roman Empire. It ordered that the state, the Roman Empire, should give complete tolerance to anyone who had given up his mind either to the cult of the Christians or one which has personally felt best for himself. You can either serve the Christian God, which is the Roman Catholic theology and dogma, or you can serve whatever God feels good for yourself, Buddhist, Hindu, whatever you feel is good, you can worship Satan. According to the above statement, as the author and as the teacher, I can see the beginning of a new world religion. That's how it starts, where everybody serves the same God. I can see the beginning of a new world religion governed by the Roman Catholic Church, when all gods are reckoned equal. That's why in schools today and government institutions, they don't open in the name of Jesus Christ or Yahushua. They will have a moment of prayer, and everyone will pray to his own God as he or she wishes. It's the same as it was in the time of Babylon, when Jaffa, when they was building the tower, and Jaffa brought confusion of tongues. The guy says, as I can see it today in 2026, it is the beginning of a new world religion governed by the Roman Catholic Church, where all gods are reckoned equal. Today, 2026, it has become the norm to serve whatever God you feel fit best. If you want to worship Satan, you might even... There is a Satanist religion today. When I was a younger, the Satanist was targeted in South Africa by the South African police. They were hunting them. And today they can't. Today it's part of a free religion. With one stroke of a pen, all anti-Christian decrees have been revoked. So when he shows, when he speaks about, and he must always remember it, when they speak about the Christian church or whatever on the TV, or it is the Roman Catholic Church. They are called Christians. Constantine has created the name Christian. In the time of Yahushua, 300 years before the Nicene Creed, there was no word like a Christian. They were called Yahvist with a V. Yahvist. Which means followers of Yahushua. And that's why they were hunted, the Yahvists, and the Hebrew people that believed or practiced in the name of Yahushua and Yahva the Elohim, and believed in the workings of the Ruach HaKodesh. They were hunted like animals. That's why from 34 AY to 1530 AY, more than 115 million Yahvist and Hebrew people were eliminated from the earth, with all the manuscripts and all documentation and anything that they could add as a reference, blotting out the names, the original ancient Hebrew names of Yahushua, Yaffa, and the Ruach HaKodesh. This is why it was. So the word Christian, whenever you hear the word Christian, which is used, it means it's allocated, it's linked to, it's the DNA. The word Christian is part of the DNA of the Roman Catholic Church. That's why I say, I am no Christian. Yes, when I was in a church and we didn't know better, until we received the anointing of the Ruach HaKodesh, and the studies, and that's why I've been studying the eschatology for more than 59 years, coming to the revelation word in Yahushua, as Father has foreseen with Wimtais and his Bible, and my wife, Pastor Rika, that first came to the revelation word. But every good thing comes in time. So before the Nicene Creed, there were no name like a Christian. Do you understand that? So it's created to say we are part of the Roman Catholic New World Order government system. I can't put it better. With one stroke of the pen, all anti-Christian decrees has been revoked, and the era of persecution has come to an end. That's what they say. Now, Christians were not only free to worship. Now, they call them Christians, but it's actually referring to the Yahvists. So, I'm not going to say Christians. Now, the Yahvists and Hebrew people were not... now, the Christians were not only free to worship, but their places of worship in other churches and properties were returned to them. Which was taken from them was returned to them. Now it was free to worship. But again, that was only a trick of Satan to gather the people together just to eat them again. It's very important to understand this following section of our study regarding the Trinity of the Godhead. Henceforth, we are now moving in the direction of the creation of the Trinity of the Godhead by Emperor Constantine Pontifex Maximus. The Arian controversy. Arian, we're going to listen to this. This is so important. It did not take long before the Edict of Milan was in the balance. In Alexandria and in the east, now Alexandria was in Egypt, the harbor in Egypt. In Alexandria and in the east, other storms were brewing. It threatened to split the Roman Catholic Church again. This time it was a theological issue. The divinity of Christ. Now I'm going to use the words as it is written here, and then I'm just going to make my fingers a bracket. When they say Christ, I'm going to say Yahushua. The diversity of Christ, which is Yahushua. Once again, Emperor Constantine felt himself enrolled in a heated debate within the Roman Catholic Church. Because you must remember, he went and built his own land, Constantinople. He went and built his own towns, his everything, his own harbor. At the center of the debate was Arius. Now, when they were talking about, at this Council of Nicene, there was a guy called Arius, but he was a bishop. Yeah, he was a leader of an organization which believed in the oneness of the Godhead, the oneness of Yahweh Almighty, not in the Trinity, as did the Hebrew people for ages did. Even today in 2026, Hebrew people still believe in the oneness of Yahweh Almighty. This time it was a theological issue, the diversity of Yahushua or Christ. Once again, Emperor Constantine found himself embroiled in a hidden debate within the Roman Catholic Church. At the center of the debate was Arius, A-R-I-U-S, an intelligent, independent, and popular Presbyterian in Alexandria. Like his predecessors, Origen, and other Christian theologists. Now you see, when we look at Origen, he was a Roman Catholic. And when they talk about other Christian theologians, it talks about Roman Catholic theologians. Arius differed with numerous believers over the nature of the Son of God and his relation to God the Father. Now you must bear with me from now on. I need to speak to it as I found it in my research material. When it talks about the Son of God, this is what I must say. Yahushua. The nature of the Son of God, that's Yahushua, and his relationship to God his Father, Yahweh Almighty. He taught that there was, that is now Arius, one. There was one God, Yahweh Almighty, who was begotten. Three, alone. Four, eternal. Five, and alone without beginning. Six, the Son of God, Arius said, was himself created. Now we're going to look at all these points here. Seven, and therefore must be subordinated to the Father. So what does he say? He says, Yahushua himself was created. which is true. If you have done the study of the book of Hebrews, Hebrew 1, go take your Bible, read Hebrew 1. How the son that Yahashua was not Yahashua. He was part of the angels in heaven. Because he says there in Hebrew 1, I think it's verse 4 or 5, to whom of the, look at my fingers, the other angels did he say, you are my son, today I have begotten thee. He has uplifted. Begotten doesn't mean he gave birth to him. He exalted him. Alright. 6. The Son of God, Arius said, which himself was himself created. The Son of God, Yahashua, must be. He wasn't there from the beginning. Although the Bible says, before anything, he was. Yahashua, the Son was. Now that contradicts everything. So it seems. No. Can you remember I explained on one stage that when you want to build a house, you first, before anything, you dream about it. You think about it. In your mind you will see the plot of land that you have, and you will see the house, the bedroom is there, and the ensuite, and there's another room, and there's the kitchen, and there's the double garages, and here's more bathrooms, and here's toilets, and there's you, and then you go up to the double story. And tomorrow night you might lie on your bed and you say, no, I don't want the main bedroom with the ensuite here. We're going to move the kitchen this way because it's showing, the windows will show north. So it's good to have the sun in the house. And then we'll put the main bedroom there. And you will chop and change this ideas until you have an idea of what you want to do. And then you and your wife will go outside. You have pegs and you will have a line and a ruler or a tape. And you will measure everything and you will heat up the pegs and you will make the bedroom specs. You will make red and the kitchen you will make green and the lounge you will make blue. And then you will stand there and after you have done everything, your wife may say, no, let's just take the garages, put them that side. Because the driveway, let it face to the main road coming in. And again you will change it. Now this is how the sun was. This is how the sun existed. Before the main plan is drawn, the whole plan is set out before you go to an architect. Before you will build it, your whole idea is set out. And then only you will get the architect to put it on paper. And then it might still change once or twice. And this is how it worked with the sun. When the scripture says that the sun was before anything, meaning that he was created second in charge. Not. Never. It's not. But we will never understand to make understand the figurative speech. If I say I am building my house and we do not have a plan yet, there's not even pegs that's been hit out on the plot, on the land. Am I building my house? Yes. Although there's nothing there, I and my wife can see the house. We can even see the color of tiles we want to put in the kitchen. We can see in our minds where the bathrooms, what tiles on the floors, and on the showers, the baths. But there's nothing there. But we can see it as if it is. And this is where the sun was. The sun in Hebrew 1 was in the mind of Yahweh Almighty. Just after he has created the heaven. He thought about the Son. In read Hebrews 1, chapter 1, I think it's verse 3. He says he was the blueprint, the Son. I don't have the scripture in front of me. He was the blueprint. He was the mind set out before anything was. Before there was an angel in heaven, before he was already in the mind of Yahushua. He didn't float around. He hasn't been around. He was only in the mind. He was the blueprint. As when you were working out your plan for your new house, it is a blueprint that is in your mind. Up to the stage where it's put on paper. And then only after it has been okay by the municipality, now you can start building your house. And the very same happened in Hebrews chapter 1. Go read Hebrews chapter 1. From verse 1 to 14. Yahushua was an angel. Or let me return. Yahushua, in Hebrews 1 verse 2, 3, he was in the mind of the Father. And that's why the scripture says, he was before anything in heaven was. He was already. Why? He was in the mind of Yahweh. It's if he is there already. And then Yahweh spoke the angels, because the Bible says they are created. They're not formed with his hand. They are spoken beings. Go read Hebrews 1 verse 14. They carry swords of fire to serve Yahweh. And then he was the Son, was there with the other angels. And then Father Yahweh exalted this angel. One of them that did not went with Lucifer. Go read the scripture. So what happened is that he lived. When the Bible says that before anything was, he was already in the mind of the Father. But only later on, he would become the Son. Because the Bible says, after he exalted him, I think it's there, it's in Hebrew 1 verse 7, he says, to whom of the other angels I said, you are my Son, today I have begotten thee. I'm just taking the scripture for my, come on. To whom of the other angels, it doesn't say other, it says, to whom of the angels, he said, I said in brackets, other angels, you get your mind going. To whom of the other angels did he say, you today, you will be my Son. I will be a father unto you, and you will be my Son. Before that day, he was not the Son. Yahweh hasn't been his father. Father Yahweh is not the father of all the other angels. They are servants. Spirits, servant spirits that he used to the glory of his kingdom. He says, today I will be as a father unto you, and you will be my Son. He wasn't there when there was nothing else. There was nothing else, so the Son wasn't there, but he was in the planning of that what Yahushua did, as in the way when we build a house. I hope this helps you to understand the scripture. It says, before anything was, he was the Son. Where was he? In the mind of the Father. You see, this is what we call a revelation word. It says, point 6, the Son of God, Arius said, was himself created. Yes. He was an angel, and then he was exalted. And therefore must be subordinated to the Father. Of course he does. He is not the Father. Although the disciples says, show us the Father. And he says, Philippus, he says, I'm so long with you, and say, show us the Father. I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me. If you see me, you see the Father. But you must understand scripture right. That in heaven, the Son was created, as Ayer said. He was not. The Father and the Son hasn't appeared on 1 second. No. The Father was there. And then later, the Son became. After the angels were there, then only did the Son appear. Now it says, I think I just need to just read these 7 points again. It's very important. This is why this book is so important. What is your God's name? Because all this information is in there. One, Arius taught. He says, the nature of the Son of God and his relation to his relation to God the Father. He taught that there was one God, Yahweh Almighty, who was begotten alone for eternal and alone without beginning. The Father had no beginning, no end. 6, the Son of God, Arius said, was himself created. The Son of God, Yahushua. Of course he did. And therefore must be subordinated to the Father, Yahweh Almighty. Arius thought concerning to the scriptures, there was a time when the Son was not. Hallelujah. I grew up in a house, in a oneness house. A lot of people referred to us when we were young as the Jesus onlys. No, we were not the Jesus onlys. We were the Jesus everything. The only difference is, from a young age, because my father was a student of the word, I understood the scriptures. When in Matthew 28:19, Yahushua supposedly said, go baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You can't show me one place in the whole of the Bible where, because that makes it 3 gods, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You can't show me one place in the whole Bible where one person was ever immersed or baptized in, according to Matthew 28:19, in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:36-41. Every time people were baptized, it was in the name of Jesus Christ to the remission of your sin, according to the 1611 King James Bible. According to the restoration of the original sacred name Bible, the Bible that I've got, where I offer 2 Bibles for the price of 1, it says, in the name of Yahushua, to the remission of the sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it's contradicting to what Matthew 28:19 says. You see, Apostle Peter understood who was the Father, who was the Son, and who was the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19, when he says immerse in, or baptized, or immerse in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father is a title. I'm a father. You most likely are a father. Son, I'm a son. If you are a man, you're the son. Holy Spirit. So Father is a title, Son is a title, and Holy Spirit is a title. But to be immersed in the name of Yahushua to the remission of your sin. And on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:36-41. Verse 41, 3,000 people were immersed in the name of Yahushua to the remission of your sin. Go read Acts 19:1-8. There Apostle Paul will re-immerse other people that John the immerser, John the baptizer, that he has baptized because he could not baptize with the remission of sin. Because Yahushua had not died again. And they were re-immersed in the name of Yahushua to remission of your sin. And so I can carry on about the names, the name of Yahushua and the remission. I restored according to the scripture, there was a time when the sun was not. This part summed up the doctrine which Arian believed in. He believed in the oneness of Yahweh, his Elohim, like all ancient Hebrew and Jewish people did. Here Israel, Yahweh your Elohim is one. He's not a Trinity God. You know what does the Hebrew people say? They say that the Protestants and the Catholics believe in a dragon. A dragon has one head, one body, and he's got three heads, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This is how they joke with it. The Hebrew people, because Yahweh said to Moses, you must teach the people, hear Israel, Yahweh your Elohim is one. You must serve him with your whole mind, your body, and everything that's within you. So, Arius believed in the oneness of Yahweh, his Elohim, like all ancient Hebrews and Jewish people did. And so do we, as Yahwehs, believe in the oneness of Yahweh Almighty. That's why we have only two kingly laws. We don't have 613 laws that we have to obey. He says, hear Israel, and I want to say, hear all your Yahwehs, Yahweh your Elohim is one. You must worship him with your whole soul, mind and body, and your brother like yourself. That's the two New Testamental kingly laws that we obey. The time has caught up with us. Don't miss this. This is manna right from heaven. Till next week, if Father's will, Maranatha, Yahushua's coming back again. Hallelujah.